Good evening. It is 5 p.m. and this is Today in YGK on CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. Today in YGK is brought to you by your CFRC News Collective, Ara McCauley, Jesse Bell, and Jenny Hinch. CFRC's news programming is made possible by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, and for our podcasts, Smith Engineering at Queen's University. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist, Ara McCauley, and here are your local news headlines. The adoption of the City of Kingston's official plan was moved to 2027 at May 19th's council meeting following a lively discussion in council about whether or not to postpone the plan's approval.
First of all, I just want to thank council. This was a really vigorous, passionate debate. And this was worthy of the people who elected us all to City Council.
City Council initiated work on its new official plan framework and policies in 2023, aiming to have the new official plan approved before the end of June 2026. With the deadline fast approaching, Councillor Tozo presented a motion to request that Council direct City staff to cancel the June 30th special meeting of Council and the June 18th special meeting of Planning Committee to direct staff to release additional supporting studies and plans when available, in accordance with the Council endorsed medium growth scenario for public review and feedback, and submit an updated third draft and recommendation report to Council in 2027. Councillor Tozo argued that while City staff should be commended for the work they have put into the plan thus far, important supporting plans such as the Natural Heritage Study, Integrated Mobility Plan, and others are still in progress.
Tonight I'm asking Council to defer the third draft of and the new official plan until 2027. I think, to be clear, you all know I hate deferrals. We're elected to make decisions and own those decisions once they're made. We're also elected to make decisions on the best information possible. Several studies that support the official plan are still in progress, such as the Natural Heritage Study, the Integrated Mobility Plan, Water and Wastewater, which won't be complete until late fall, and the financial analysis of this all won't be completed until early 2027. Council needs this information to make the best possible decision when considering expanding the urban boundary, a decision that has significant and far-reaching implications. On the direction of Council, City staff have completed a tremendous amount of work, and thus far I think there's a lot to be proud of. I'd like to highlight the contributions of several staff members, Laura Flaherty, Paige Agnew, Tim Park, Neil Odie, Sukriti Agarwal, Matt Cusson, Ian Semple, and their teams, just to name a few. The citizens of Kingston should be proud of the tireless work of their dedicated public servants. The one reason I'm putting this forward, I think that's invaluable to highlight, is just the costing aspect. I think beyond everything else, we do need to know the high-level costs, and we won't get that till 2027.
In his motion, he also noted that some members of the public have expressed a desire for more time to review supporting studies and the draft plan prior to City Council making a decision on the final official plan. The council meeting began with several delegations speaking to the plan, addressing concerns over its implementation, citing a lack of finished data and outdated projections on population, which could have significant impact on the urban boundary expansion.
It will shape how Kingston grows, where housing goes, how infrastructure is funded, what environmental protections are put in place, and ultimately what kind of city we leave to the future generations. This is about making sure we get this right. Both council and the public are being asked to review an extremely large and complex final draft with very limited time before the final adoption vote. I do not believe this is the best way to make a decision that will affect Kingston for decades. Good decisions require complete information.
The official plan is underpinned by the population projections of the 2023 Watson and Associates report. I hope to convince you that the population projection must be reassessed in light of the COVID blip and recent downgrade in immigration and international student visa allocation, in addition to the challenging geopolitical instability starting over the past year. The projections by the city used to underpin the official plan increased by roughly 50,000 people using the historical projection from 2019 versus that from 2023. And this was before the downturn in post-secondary programs at St. Lawrence College and Queen's University. The provincial projections show a roughly 10,000 person decrease between their 2021 and 2025 update. The Stats Canada update in 2025 shows an even greater decrease to near 160,000 permanent residents in 2051.
Not every councillor was in favor of the delay, however. Councillor Oosterhoff argued that the deferral undermined the hard work of city staff.
I'm not so crazy about this motion. I think that this motion passes, we actually have not done our jobs. I think that we are providing inconsistent leadership to our staff. They have done a good job. We did compliment compliment them, or more than that, we acknowledge their excellence. It's like a backhanded slap to me to see that we have to now say that we need more time.
And cautioned unintended consequences.
And here we are in total Lake Kingston, just delaying again or failing to show leadership to me. And it's just very frustrating to see this and causing what I think is potentially a problem down the road with a new council, a new mandate.
Commissioner Agnew was on hand to speak to council about the work staff has done on the report.
From a staff perspective, our main goal has always been to deliver council a plan that is progressive, is something that takes the city into the future and something that you can stand behind. Proud of the work and feeling that it's been well substantiated by all the technical information. So that is our goal at the end of the day. Some councillors may not be in a position where they feel like there's been enough time for council and the public to absorb the information because there's been a lot of it in a fairly short period of time. And we understand that that was always going to be the case with the project schedule that was endorsed from the very beginning because it was aggressive and the goal was to deliver a plan for this council to make a decision on.
Councillor Glenn asked Agnew about the methodology used in staff's population projections and what measures were in place to course correct if projections were wrong.
Because we continue to hear conflicting statistics, conflicting information, different points of view. So I want to understand what would happen if we're wrong on our assumptions, and what would happen if we had to modify the assumption?
It's a 25-year projection, and there isn't a level of mathematical certainty that I can give council in year 15, 20, or 25 that would probably satisfy anybody in the room. That's why there are multiple checkpoints from an overall governance perspective with how plans are administrated and how they're ground truthed and how they're revalidated through the process of the course of a life of a plan, because the province asks municipalities to plan between that 20 and 25 year timeframe. So we're looking at it annually, we're doing check-ins in 5 years, and then we're doing a comprehensive review every 10 years.
While Councillor Stephen argued that the concerns over the population projection data was being blown out of proportion.
The people who are talking about growth projection changes are talking to themselves. We have already made a decision, and we know, even if the misinformation is simplifying things, we know that we can change this in the future, that whatever we do is not set in stone. And I'll give you an example, because the old OP that we're under right now was supposed to carry us through to 2036, and it's 2026, and we've already outgrown it. So, I mean, we could decrease our population projections and underplan again. But what I'd rather do is take the medium growth scenario that we already chose, aim for a balanced approach, hope that we're pretty close, and adjust as we go, because that's the reasonable thing to do, and that's what the legislation says. And anyone who says otherwise is making it up. They don't know what they're talking about.
Further questions touched on the outstanding reports and their impact on the final plan.
In progress, we still have the integrated mobility plan and the wastewater master plan. So they have done substantial work to influence the second draft that's out and that has been out for public consumption in terms of all the technical inputs that need to go into that plan. Those plans continue on beyond the life of the completion of the official plan, usually in terms of their technical modeling and getting into the detailed work that actually lives in those plans, and it's not in the official plan. The official plan is more of the high-level enabling that has the technical information only to a certain level. So that work is going to be ongoing into the fall for both of those studies, but that's always been the case. We're working to finish the natural heritage study. So that is in the process under Mr. Park's leadership of taking and finalizing the feedback that's come from the consultation that took place over the last couple of months. And that study will be finalized and presented to council. There's a lot of it that's already in draft two. The remainder of it gets refined and put into draft three.
Deputy Mayor Boehm read the new motion with consolidated amendments ahead of the final discussion.
Here's the motion as amended. Whereas City Council initiated work on its new official plan framework and policies in 2023 with a work plan aiming to have a new official plan approved before the end of June 2026. And whereas, although a number of background studies supporting the official plan have been released, there are still upcoming important supporting plans such as the Natural Heritage Study, Integrated Mobility Plan, and others that are in progress. And whereas some members of the public have expressed a desire for more time to review supporting studies and the draft plan prior to City Council making a decision on the final official plan. Therefore, be it resolved that Council directs City staff to cancel the June 30th special meeting of Council and the June 18th special meeting of Planning Committee.
and the staff be directed to hold an information session in Q1 2027 in order to provide information to both the public and the council elected for the 2026-2030 term regarding the official plan, and that council directs staff to release additional supporting studies and plans when available in accordance with the council-endorsed medium growth scenario for public review and feedback, and submit an updated third draft of the new official plan together with an accompanying recommendation report no later than June 30th, 2027, following the completion of outstanding supporting studies, public engagement, and technical review.
Councillor Glenn commended the decision to defer, citing confusion and distrust around the process from constituents.
So I think it's critical that we get back on the same page. There's been a lot of confusion, and I think it's creating distrust in this process.
Other council members offered their support, though several did so while expressing reservations.
I am disappointed. Every time we have something like this, we always run away. We always try to defer things, to defer the reports or whatever due to some of the political pressure. I am voting for it, but it's not that I'm voting from the bottom of my heart. I have two reasons. The reason is my colleagues were working hard on it. They have some pressure from the constituents. I have a pressure from the constituents, but it's totally political. But also, I'm embarrassed to tell you that we are disrespecting the staff's hard work behind it. We need to change our culture here. We need to either give the direction to the council. We should have enough time for the public to be engaged. But I don't know when we have 2 months, 3 months, we advertise, or the council advertise, or staff advertise to get involved. People don't get involved.
So I just want to be clear that deferring the decision about adopting the official plan doesn't mean that we're not expanding. We have to do it. If we don't do it, if council puts our head in the sand and says, we don't want to expand the urban boundary because people don't like it, well then guess what? The province is going to do it for us. And I'm pretty sure they don't care about our natural heritage system the way we do. So I'm going to support this because if people need more time after months of reviewing it and they still can't seem to get through the material, okay. But also, I just want to be clear, we have professional staff working here at the City of Kingston. They work for everyone. They are us. We are the city. The people who live here are the city. And these are the professionals we have hired to do the job. And when people are characterizing it as urban sprawl and copying and pasting emails to us, I wonder if they've even read the plan. It's been online for months. So if you want to be involved, oh my gosh, yes, get involved, but go straight to the source. You can't rely on Facebook comments and email chains. That's not the real information. It's partial information. It's rooted in truth, but it's not the whole story. Things like this are much more complex, and misinformation is doing us all a disservice. So if you have questions, if you're in the public, ask us, ask staff. They have the answers, and we want the answers too, because we want to do right by the community. That's the whole point of this exercise.
In the end, the motion passed with one dissenting vote from Councillor Oosterhoff.
The council has every bit of right in the coming years to manage what we do. We have guardrails. We have done our jobs this 4 years. We have a good vision, a good view of moving forward. We know we're comfortable with it. I cannot support this.
That wraps up your headlines for this evening. Next up is Jesse Bell with your CFRC Sports Desk.
This is Jesse Bell with your sports report brought to you by CFRC Power Plays. We begin with the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs. We had two games over the weekend, starting with the Montreal Canadiens and the Carolina Hurricanes. After stealing game one on the road, Montreal was close, but not close enough, falling 3-2 in overtime to the Hurricanes. Their series is now tied at one game apiece. And then last night, we had game three between the Vegas Golden Knights and the Colorado Avalanche. Colorado jumped out to a 3-0 lead, but they would be unable to hold that lead as Vegas slowly but surely clawed their way back into the game, ultimately winning 5-3 to take a dominant 3-0 lead in the Western Conference Final Series. Montreal and Carolina will play Game 3 of their Eastern Conference Final Series tonight, with puck drop set for 8 p.m., and Vegas will try to close out Colorado tomorrow night, with puck drop scheduled for 9 p.m. Switching now to the NBA, and it's a similar story to what we see in the NHL, in the sense that one conference final series is very close, and the other one sees a team with a commanding 3-0 lead. Let's start with the latter. The New York Knicks hold a 3-0 series lead over the Cleveland Cavaliers with a chance to close out the series and advance to their first NBA Finals since 1999. Tip-off is scheduled for 8 p.m. tonight. Meanwhile, over in the Western Conference, we have an absolute bloodbath of a series as the San Antonio Spurs, led by Victor Wembanyama, take on the top seed Oklahoma City Thunder, led by Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. And it was the Spurs that took Game 4 by a 20-point margin, 103-82, to tie the series at 2 games apiece. A crucial Game 5 is going to tip off tomorrow night at 8:30 p.m., and whoever wins that game very well could take the entire series. That's a wrap for the Sports Report brought to you by CFRC Power Plays. Reminder that you will hear more sports content Tuesday night at 5 p.m. on The Corridor, and then again Wednesday at 5 p.m. on Today in YGK. Until next time, all the best. Jesse Bell, signing off. Coming up next, your City of Kingston Traffic Report and your Environment Canada Weather Report for the Kingston region. Here is your City of Kingston Traffic Report. On Bath Road between Sir John A. Macdonald Boulevard and Portsmouth Avenue, expect delays as crews continue installing intersection pedestrian signals. Over on King Street West from Country Club Drive to Front Road, expect delays as Utilities Kingston work has reduced traffic to one lane in each direction. Watch for lane shifts, reduced speeds, and shared lane signage. At the intersection of Montreal Street and John Counter Boulevard, construction is ongoing with delays expected throughout the month. Cranbrook Street from Days Road to Lakeview Avenue, as a reminder, is closed from 8:40 a.m. to 9:20 a.m. and 3:20 p.m. to 3:50 p.m. every school day as part of the School Streets program, which restricts access during school drop-off and pickup times. Wright Crescent remains closed between Palace Road and Kingsland Crescent for roadway repairs and safety improvements. Construction continues on Princess Street from Frontenac to Division as part of a major reconstruction project, and long-term closures remain in place on Aberdeen Street between Johnson and William and Barry and Queen. Monday, May 25th, we've got a daytime high of 17 degrees, feeling closer to 20 with a nice mix of sun and cloud, dropping down to 10 degrees overnight. Tuesday, May 26th, daytime high of 19 degrees with a 60% chance of precipitation in the afternoon, dropping down to 14 overnight. Wednesday, May 27th, we have got a daytime high of 20 degrees, but in the sun, it's going to be much warmer, or at least feel that way, closer to 26 degrees with a little bit of humidity, 55% chance of precipitation throughout the day, but not getting a whole lot of accumulation. Thursday, May 28th, daytime high of 19 degrees, a beautiful sunny day here in the city of Kingston, dropping down to 10 overnight. Friday, May 29th, 16 is your high, but feeling closer to 20 in the sunshine, dropping down to a fairly chilly 8 degrees overnight. Saturday, May 30th, daytime high of 17, feeling closer to 19 with a 58% chance of showers. Sunday, May 31st, ending off the month with a beautiful sunny 18 degree day. Perfect conditions leading us into Monday, June 1st. We get another 18 degree day with lots of sunshine, feeling closer to 22 when all is said and done. That's a wrap for your traffic and weather reports. Over to CFRC's Genevieve Hinch for your concerts and events calendar.
Hello, Kingston, and welcome back to CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Kingston, Ontario. I'm CFRC's Community News and Arts Coordinator, Jenny, and this is your weekly events and concerts calendar. Whether you're looking for live music, local markets, workshops, comedy, or just something fun to do around the city, there's plenty happening in Kingston this week. Let's get into it. Starting off with Monday, the Tet Center is hosting a Memory Vessel Paper Pulp Sculpture Workshop from 6 to 9 p.m. for anyone looking to get creative. Over at the Kingston Grand Theatre, Menopause the Musical 2 hits the stage at 7:30. Live music includes Jazz Mondays with Dave Barton at the RCHA Club, And One Tree Hill fans might want to check out Kate Vogel and Tyler Hilton performing at the Sphere at 8 p.m. Trivia also returns to Something in the Water Brewing Company later that evening. Tuesday brings a mix of community events and live music. Stories in the Park takes place at Lake Ontario Park from 6:30 to 7 p.m., while Daft Brewing hosts Euchre Night from 7 to 9. Live music includes Vincent Mossier at the Time Out Bar, Eric Urin and Megan Ballone performing at the Cove Inn, and a traditional Irish session returning to the Toucan from 7:30 to 10 p.m. On Wednesday, Spring Reverb officially kicks into gear with Canada's Music Incubator hosting a financial literacy for artists session at the Broom Factory from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. If you're looking for something social later in the evening, Something in the Water Brewing Company and the Royal Canadian Legion are both hosting board game nights, while Daft Brewing and La Vida Bistro host trivia and euchre. For something a little different, the Gananoque Pride Alliance is screening Legally Blonde at the 1000 Islands Drive-In starting at 6:30 p.m. Thursday keeps things busy with Kingston Public Market running all day in Springer Market Square from 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Later on, Science Quest Animal Engineers takes place at the Calvin Park Branch Library, while Daft Brewing hosts a burlesque show from 8 to 10 p.m. Spring Reverb concerts also begin Thursday night with Slaves of Spanky, Pony Girl, and Almond Milk performing at the Broom Factory. Other live music highlights include Real Love, a Kenny and Dolly tribute at the Kingston Grand Theater, and Divine Right alongside Casper Skulls taking over the Toucan later that night. Now, Friday is definitely packed with events all across the city. The Nature of Being exhibition opens at the Tech Gallery from 3 to 8 p.m., while downtown venues are filled with Spring Reverb performances throughout the night. The Broom Factory hosts their Dirty Nil alongside Cam Cannon and Futura Free beginning at 7:30. Forever Seeger takes over the Kingston Grand Theater, while Something in the Water Brewing Company hosts a charity drag bingo night starting at 8 p.m. Other live music includes the Sadies at Hayloft Dance Hall, Mauricio and the Latin Beat Band at the Sphere, and Hot Garbage with Ace of Wands rocking the Toucan late into the night. Heading into Saturday, Turtle Awareness Day takes over Lake Ontario Park from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., while the Spring Reverb Punk Rock Fleet Market runs at the Broom Factory from 11 to 3. There's also a free community event called Spring Together happening at Kingston Community Health Centers from noon until 3. Live music highlights include the Frontenac Community Concert Band celebrating its 50th anniversary at Kingston Gospel Temple, Thania Iyer and Julia Finnegan performing at the Broom Factory, and Golden Feather taking over the Toucan later that night. If you're looking for a fun evening out, line dancing returns to the Buckle from 7 to 8 p.m. Wrapping things up, Sunday, the Memorial Center Farmers Market runs until 9 a.m. to 2 p.m., while the Cataraqui Indigenous Market takes place at Confederation Park from 10 to 4. Spring Reverb continues with the recording studio tour at a mystery location with a DIY merch workshop hosted by M. Harmson at the Warehouse. Live music includes Bedouin Soundclash performing at the Broom Factory at 2:30, Eric Urin and Megan Belong returning to the Cove Inn, and live band karaoke at the Merchant Tap House starting at 9 p.m. That's your weekly events and concerts calendar for May 25th through the 31st. For more information on any of these events, visit the CFRC website and keep it locked right here on CFRC 101.9 FM.
Thank you for tuning in to CFRC's local news programming. To revisit episodes of Today in YGK and listen on the go, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Today in YGK is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, and for our podcast, Smith Engineering at Queen's University. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.
Thank you for listening to this podcast produced at CFRC 101.9 FM at Queen's University in Kingston, Ontario, situated on the traditional territories of the Anishinaabe and Haudenosaunee peoples, and brought to you by the generous support of Smith Engineering.